Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 600. It's all about AI. We're going to talk about some AI. We're going to talk about cultivating collaboration with Dave. We have some jokes for you. We got some good stuff for your classroom this week. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right. Welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm well. I went to a conference for a day and like a half this past week.
Yeah? How'd it go?
It went well. Talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
Coming up. But yeah, we had some testing going on, which kind of frustrating because it seems like NWEA had issues, but the message that NWEA says, the message that the kids get is like, your connection is not, or there's an issue with your connection. So who do you think the teachers and the kids are going to blame?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, you know, our wireless, our wireless. It's like, it's not our wireless. So, yeah. Not our, and it's funny because I talked to a bunch of tech directors and they're all like, yeah, we got the same mess, the same issues. It's like, it's not
That's
our
pretty
wireless.
Sneaky.
Yeah. Well, hey. If two boats go under at the same time, what would you call that?
If two boats go under at the same time, well, I'm hoping that they're both submarines.
No, you'd call that synchronicity.
Oh.
Synchronicity.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought five boats would do the same thing. Five French boats.
By French boats.
Yeah. On deux, trois, quatre, sync.
Sync. Yes. Sync synchronicity.
Yes.
Okay. Delps is spelled backwards.
I'm sorry. What word is that?
Delps.
Oh, belts. Okay.
Delps. D-E-L-L-E-P-S. Is spelled backwards.
Every time.
Okay. I'll take that one out of the loop. How do they figure out who's the best fighter in Candyland?
The best candy and best fighter in Candyland. It's I don't know. Best fighter. I don't know.
They turn a mint.
Oh.
Tournament.
Yeah.
Turn.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I hated my old job. All I did was push buttons all day.
Oh, you're making a joke. I got you. Okay.
It was depressing.
Oh,
and then I know that you are the absolute correct person for this one, because when it comes to, you know, when it comes to those issues of manner, those issues of elegance, you are the one that I would go to on this one.
You need more people in your life.
here's the thing. Does the spork go on the right or left of the paper plate?
That's a Dave question. Spork?
A spork.
Yeah, that's
right?
A Dave question. Yeah. Yeah. You need spork. That's a Dave question, I think.
I saw something the other day that said my two favorite Muppets are the Swedish Chef and Beakers, What does that say about me?
That you and I are friends, whoever that person is, because those are my two faves as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, and speaking of sporks, I found another word for spork. It's written down on a sticky on the side of my speaker stand at work, and I keep forgetting to rip it off and bring it home. But Dave, I got a word for you. Yeah, I just got to remember to bring it home. And okay. I have to remember what the word is, but I got a word for Dave.
And, okay, good. And I do still have, speaking of sporks, I have my spork that I bought when we went to China.
Oh, okay.
I still have that, still use it regularly.
Oh, do you?
Uh-huh. I have it at work because it's very handy. It's very handy to have.
So you're getting the CDs out of the drive?
No, I use it. Like, it's like, do you need a spoon or do you need a fork? Well, I'm all set. I'm not doing fine dining. I'm doing lunch. So it's very efficient. So, yeah.
That works.
Yeah, it does. Oh, and I think it'd be a good time to give a shout out to Dr. Williams Boyd, who was instrumental in inviting us and getting us the ability, the opportunity to go over to China, and that was a once in a lifetime opportunity, and very thankful for it. So. You meet great people on the journey here, and she's one of them.
Sure. Yep.
One of the other great people who we get to kind of talk to every week, and this week is all about cultivating collaboration. And you know what? We're just going to throw it over to Dave here. So here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski and the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the fall 2023 issue of Science Scope, a publication of the National Science Teaching Association. And I read From the Editor's Desk, written by the editor of Science Scope, Patty McGinnis. And she wrote an article entitled Cultivating Collaboration. And she said, this key skill is foundational to society. Indeed, the expansion of scientific knowledge coupled with today's complex global issues makes collaboration among scientists and engineers crucial if we are to develop solutions to difficult problems. Indeed, the world's response to COVID-19 was driven by research that resulted in expanding our knowledge of the virus and how to counteract it. One only has to conjure up an image of Watson and Crick or of Marie and Pierre Curie to realize that some of scientists' most important ideas have been the result of collaboration. Today, scientific research has become increasingly more collaborative, with research teams outcompeting the works and patents of solo authors. Collaboration is also an essential life skill found in all settings, family, school, and work. The science classroom is no exception, as the next generation science standards calls for students to replicate the work of scientists as they work together in teams to investigate, question, explain their understandings, and develop solutions to problems. Collaboration has the added benefit of developing higher order thinking, oral communication, and leadership skills. Unfortunately, the pandemic placed collaboration on the back burner as schools went online or utilized physical barriers to reduce interactions between students. Given the disruption of the last few years, it is not surprising that our students may need assistance in learning how to collaborate. We can support our students to work together productively by teaching them what collaboration looks like and sounds like, and by embedding opportunities for discussion and consensus. Rather than assuming students know how to collaborate, teach and adhere to classroom norms to ensure each student's voice is valued, and support your students with scaffolds such as sentence stems and assigned roles. Additionally, model for them what collaboration looks like and sounds like. In this way, you will be providing your students with invaluable skills they will use throughout their lives. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
All right. Collaboration in science is kind of cool. Oh, I should put something in. I will. I'm going to add something into the show. Nobody knows this, but they do now because I just said it out loud, and it's an audio podcast. So I'm going to add something about collaboration. Bill Watterson has a new graphic novel out. Are you familiar with?
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Calvin Hobbes.
Calvin and Hobbes, Bill Watterson.
Yeah.
And he has a new graphic novel out called Medieval, I think it is.
Ooh.
And it is, he did a collaboration with a visual artist. And The Mysteries is what it's called. But it has a medieval kind of look to it. And it is fascinating. He did it with John Cash, who's done several celebrities. Those like cartoons. He's done several cartoon celebrities kind of thing.
Guitars.
John Cash is one of America's most renowned characterists. And it's a mysterious and beautifully illustrated fable about what lies beyond human understanding. And it's called The Mysteries. Looks interesting. And it's there's a neat YouTube video, which I am going to link to, on the collaborative process. Because they said normally in art, when you collaborate, there's like a boss and a not boss. Right?
Yeah.
It's usually one person's in charge and has final say and like, you know, that kind of thing. Or each person has a very specific job. And that's not what Bill Watterson was looking for. He was looking for a collaborator. And he wanted it where either one of them could nix the work of the other. So it had to be like they both agreed this is what they were going for. And they were coming from very, very different perspectives. Bill Watterson was coming from the, no, I don't want to define it. I don't want detail. I want the reader to fill in the pieces kind of thing. And John Cash is like, I do detail. I do very specific, you know, this kind of thing. So it was an interesting to hear both of them talk about the collaborative process. And it is, it's a 15-minute YouTube video, which I think is very interesting in terms of collaboration and artistic work and meaning as well. So I look forward to it. I'm going to be picking up The Mysteries and see kind of what goes from there. So yeah, and I know you didn't have a chance to catch that, so... But it's worth a listen. It's worth a watch. I watched it right before the show. In fact, I was a couple minutes late to the show because I was watching that. So, that's why I was late.
I had no idea. Man. I got lost in a YouTube video as well, and I lost track of time. And
so
I was later than you.
Yep. All right. So this last week, you have You have professional development coming up this week, coming up, right?
Yes, I do. I will be developed on Monday. I am looking forward to being dunked into the developing solution and wrung out and placed on the drying rack and ready for, I don't know what we're going to do. So yeah. We're going to do iReady, which is one of those canned programs. If the kids do the lessons, then they're supposed to be able to advance. And this is supposed to be our way of getting them caught up from the COVID crisis, correct, which we're panicking because it's not working, at least not yet. So,
It has been like 6 weeks.
Oh yeah. No. and we also apparently cure special ed kids too. Get on our team and the next thing you know, you're cured. I mean, you may have had this condition all your life, but yeah, you get to the middle school and you are cured.
That's
maybe
good to know. Man, on one hand, we've come so far in helping and assisting students with different needs and students that don't fit into a traditional box. And on the other hand, we have so far to go. So,
yeah,
you know, I didn't have to go far to go to Acton this year.
Where was it?
It was in Augusta. It's closer for me than going to work. Though on Thursday, I went to work first, and because the elementary school is doing NWEA testing, so I went and hung out with them. I have a new favorite second grader. This kid was hilarious. He had an issue with starting the test, but number one, he's a second grader who has a sense of humor. I can't wait for this kid to get to middle school. He had a sense of humor and he was like, no, we got this. And, you know, we were having trouble with the microphone identifying. It kept saying volume too low. And I'm like, well, we need something else that does sound. And he's like, GarageBand does sound. All right, then.
Oh, that's cool.
You use GarageBand? Yeah. Okay, well, let's try GarageBand then. So, he became my favorite second grader. So, you know, we've got that going, and we got the microphone to work on a different iPad, and then it was volume too loud. And, I was like, well, just put the microphone up at like the tip of your nose, same level as the tip of your nose. 'Cause that's where a microphone really should be anyway. And he did, and it worked. And he made, you know, some kind of little joke about tip of his nose or something. But he's just the cutest. He's just, like I said, he's my favorite second grader now. So anyway, so we got all the testing started, and I went off to Acton. I presented on Thursday.
Yay.
So on H5P.
Cool.
And delved into using H5P a little bit, showing them, you know, what some of the things look like. And I think that was a good way to go. And I think if I do this next year, I think that's going to be the crux of my presentation, is just to get them to say, okay, open up your laptop. Here we go. Download this. And also talked with a couple of people from the Maine Department of Education. They use H5P within Drupal. And there was a couple of things that they had questions about, and was able to answer them. And one of the issues they have is doing training, because you can't have multiple people in the same thing at the same time. And so I showed them the desktop version with Lumi and how you can use Lumi to create activities as well. So did that. Also found out that Lumi will export as a web page, which is kind of neat. Since it exports it as a web page, you can use it kind of anywhere. You don't get the there's lots of caveats. You don't get the reporting and you don't get the control, but you could use it anywhere. You can use it anywhere. You can host, you can kind of get a file. So went through that, showed them how to, and then talked about having kids make the activities. And then the kids could save the activity and send it to the teacher, and the teacher could use those activities in the assessments, which is one of the things I think is really cool. So did that. It was cool. It was the last session of the day. I always seem to get the last session of the day, which is okay. That's fine. But yeah, it was good. So, you want to hear some more about Actum?
Yeah.
So, Carl Hooker was the, he's an administrator out of Texas. Very good speaker. Very entertaining, knows how to tell a story. He has a new book out. AI, it's on AI. You know, like, what a surprise, right? It's like, if it's in education right now, it's about AI, right?
Yeah.
So he's got a new book out. He also has an older book called Ready, Set, Fail. But he did a really nice keynote, very entertaining and informational. I went to one of his sessions and got some really good ideas on using AI and using AI in art. And I think I'm going to restructure co-teaching with the art teacher. I'm going to restructure how we do that, because more and more is becoming available for kids. So I think I'm going to restructure that. So, but man, it is a constantly changing landscape. Just as one example, he's got a new book out, right? And somebody brought up, he said, you know, go to this thing called this. And somebody's like, it's not called that anymore. It's called this. And he's like, it's in the book. Like, when did they change it? It's like October 4th. He goes, the book was done October 3rd. It's like, yep. Welcome to the internet and AI. It's still applicable. I mean, it's still findable, but it's just fascinating. But he showed off some things that were very, very interesting, and some things that would be good for things, like I said, that I'm using it as inspiration for things I'm going to do in art. And then it's just the number of, he also shared a resource with us, which I have shared with you, Sean, which you may not know yet because you probably didn't check your email, because I did it while we were talking. Nope. And some AI tools and tools that are, and things that are available. For me, I really think it's going to be less of a standalone thing. There still will be that, but it's going to be more and more integrated into things that we're doing, you know. And if you think about it, it's already been integrated in, you know, like GPS, turn here, turn here. Oh, you missed that one? You missed that turn? Okay, well, I'll reroute you this way, kind of thing. So I think we'll see it more and more that way. So that was fun. What wasn't fun, I sat in the front of the room, which I frequently do. No, I mean, a lot of people like to sit in the back of the room, and I know that. Sometimes I like to sit in the front room. And this was, I knew it was going to be a full session, too. And, of course, they had a lockdown drill. I had my laptop with me. My laptop, when we have a lockdown drill, the screen goes to a certain color. Lots of noises go off because it's a emergency situation. Yeah, that's embarrassing. So, because I have that set to override all of the quiet things, right? Because it's an emergency. Only it's an emergency that I couldn't do anything about because I was, about an hour away. So, okay.
It's good to know it's long reaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It works. So.
Yep.
I also went to a session on podcasting in the classroom. It's very interesting to hear other people, what some other places are doing with podcasting. And it is also interesting how broad the definition of podcasting is. Because if kids are recording any audio at all, it's a podcast.
Yeah, I know Set ISTE.
No. but the session was, you know, it was a good session. I think most people, they did a lot of hands-on things, which I didn't really need. So, I happen to know how to edit files and that kind of thing. And some people may argue that I should do more editing of files and, you know, and
no, it's our trademark. Add in, now.
Yeah. Add in more. Cause I really could, put more sounds underneath and do different audio clips for transitions and things, but, we're just going with the aesthetic of a couple guys talking. So anyway, did that. Thought that was interesting. Thought it was interesting listening to some of the examples and some of the tools that they were telling people to use. That's always fun. I went to one on game-based learning, and that was kind of a mix. There was a couple of touched on some of the theories of game-based learning, but did a lot of this tool, this tool, this tool. And I'm trying to find the balance for me personally between, using 50,000 different tools and having some novelty, right? Because if you use the same tool over and over and over, eventually kids can kind of get tired of that same experience. Maybe not tool, but experience, right? So you have to be kind of conscious of that. If you do something that's new, you know, you switch from Kahoot to quizzes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some benefit in that. The kids, you know, it's something novel and different, so the kids may pay a little more attention or something. But I don't know. I just don't know that you need to use 50,000 of these different tools. And then they're really tightening up on what is free versus what is when you get to the pay mark pretty quickly, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, there was that. And then the last one I think I'll talk about is I went to the Apple Pop-Up Classroom. And I thought this one was very interesting. Essentially, what they did is these were like hour-long sessions, right? Okay. So what they did is they had stations set up in the four corners of the classroom.
Okay.
And you would each, so they did a quick overview kind of thing. And then you had 15 minutes. You'd go to one, pick your station, you'd go there for 15 minutes, and then pick another one and go to another one. You did three of the four. You could do three of the four.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting. Our teachers have iPads, so they gave you an iPad when you walked in, and you had to use their iPad, couldn't use your own.
Yeah.
Because yep. they knew everything was installed, they knew everything was configured correctly, all that good stuff, right?
Yep.
Which is fine. And I chose to go to the photography station.
Oh.
Where they went through some things that it's like, oh, I kind of know that, but I should know that better. And then, you know, some different ways of where you could do some things. Kids could do some things to demonstrate learning, which I thought was cool. And I thought, you know, it's one of the things our teachers and our students specifically need to know is they could do some of these things with their devices. You know, mm-hmm. some of these things are possible. And then I switched over and went to the video section. Have you used Clips?
Clips. I don't think I've used Clips, no.
Okay, so when Clips was announced, I used it for like, 2 minutes. And it was like, why would I want to use this? You know what? You can do some neat stuff with Clips.
Oh.
Yeah. I should have given it more of a look-see. So we created a video where you clap your hands and you disappear.
Oh.
Which was really cool. And I think the kids would like it. And it showed it's really basic video editing. But it's easy to use, very quick. You can do sound overs. So you can do voice recording over something. So you could, you know, record anything, either you or, you know, you could claymation, you could static object, talk about it. Friends doing something, you know, all of that. So, yeah, it was kind of neat. And then I did one with drawing with, where we use Keynote to create and animate something, which was fun. But I thought the concept was neat, and I really think that teachers need to know more about the devices that they have and how they can use the devices that they have. So I got to figure out how to do some of that. And I want to pull in specific educational examples to use that. So, yeah. All right. We have an Eileen Award this week.
We do. So we had a little notification on our Facebook page that Dr. Pat Williams-Boyd has just recently liked our page. And so congratulations, Dr. Pat Williams-Boyd. You are the this week's Eileen Award winner. And I know we haven't referenced this in a while. Yep. Hooray. We have not referenced this in a while. So there is a lady, we assume somewhere on the West Coast, as near as we can narrow it down. Her name is Eileen, and she's totally agreed that and winners of the Eileen Award get a hug from Eileen. Mm-hmm. And so you are welcome to seek her out. And when you do find her, the hug is yours.
That's right.
So congratulations, yep, to our Eileen Award winner this week.
And I think at one point we were leaning towards somewhere in the San Diego potential area. I think we were thinking California.
Be a nice place to visit this time of year.
So, you know, what the heck? Why not? It's a good place to go anyway. So, yeah. All right. Not only do we have the Eileen Award, but we also have the social web.
We do. I've got a few things for you this week. I was thinking of you and I saw these. And I was like, you know what? I think these were very appropriate for middle school. And I think Troy would like these. So here we go. Susie Dent at Susie_Dent
The word of the day is snurtle. It's an 18th century dialect word. It's to wrap up cozily beneath the covers and hold off the day for just a little longer. I don't know where you're at, but here where I'm at in my neck of the woods, it's looking like it's going to rain all day, and then it's going to get cold. So today is a really good day for a snurtle. So drop that one at work and see what happens. We talked about Kevin Honeycutt last week, and Kevin Honeycutt did post his Blackline Master PDF of the Space Castle Learning Pod and print on cardstock for great results with your kids to use as a pencil, pen holder, or just take home for more adventures. And then there's also the plans to the whole space capsule module thing. And I've put a link in the show notes with a link to his Google Drive, I believe it is. It's an external file anyway, where you can pick that up and get those things. He's got other things on his website. Check him out at kevinhoneycutt.org. And you can get other activities as well. The first one I saw was a really, really awesome air guitar. And I say air guitar because it wasn't really an air guitar, but because he attached an iPad to the front end of it. And then, of course, he did all the guitar-y type moves, but he was strumming an iPad and was making all these wonderful guitar-y type sounds. And it was nice, a nice way to connect an air guitar to strumming a iPad. It sounded really good. The things you used to learn on the day before ISTE at the UnConference conference. ISTE's kind of taken that over and killed the UnConference conference. And it's very sad that they've done that. Sheehan McCarthy, word of the weekend. And this is just for you. And I like the way you pronounced it better than I was going to pronounce it. But I'm going to do it my way because you're developing that whole Maine accent.
Yeah.
That's right. So, legit word. It's an exclamation of surprise from the 19th century. And I believe it will get you an exclamation of surprise when you drop it in your classroom or in the faculty lounge anyway. It's called booty anchors.
And okay.
It's just an exclamation of surprise. Yeah. Drop that. I think the eighth graders the seventh graders would definitely glom onto that one. And
that's right.
That could show up in a few Collins type 3 writings, I'm sure. Massimo at Rainmaker 1973. The importance of punctuation. Commas save lives. And there's a little teeny picture in the show notes, and it says crocodiles do not swim here. What they think, I think they meant to say was crocodiles do not swim here.
Right.
Period would work too, but yeah. So there you go. Yeah. There go on go. In. Crocodiles don't swim here.
Crocodiles do not swim here. That's right.
Have fun. Yeah. So Mr. Bernard at Mr. Bernard at pilot.me. And you found this one.
I did. I like to throw them in to see.
I thought I'd do the lead-in for you.
Yeah, and so Mr. Berard is a teacher. One of the things he teaches is computer science, and he was explaining priority queue. Says, so when I'm teaching your fellow students, if one needs me, I go to help them. If somebody else needs me, they have to wait their turn. But if one gets a nosebleed, I address them first. Thought, yep, that's how you explain priority queue in for middle school kids, right?
Perfect.
Well, right there. Or if somebody has to throw up. The other one, they get to go first. So
yes,
yeah. So all right. Let's see here. We have the culture translator.
Yeah, access to culture translator had several good things in their newsletter this week, but I thought this one was really applicable to teens because you can have a conversation with teens about this. Timu Temu is a Chinese-owned shopping app, and apparently it is dropping huge discounts. You can get stuff for, you can get waterproof watches for $7. You can get jackets, winter jackets for $14. Apparently this absurdly cheap price is going on. Yes. But Temu is, and Shein, Shein, the other affiliated site. Both of them, their materials are made out of the Shenzhen province, where the Muslims Uyghurs are doing a lot of slave labor. The U.S. Congress has determined that there's a lot of this material on Temu that comes out of that region. Right. And so if the question then to have with the conversation with the kids is, what if the thing you purchased off Temu was produced using slave labor? How does that make you feel? How do you feel about that? And teens generally tend to have very strong opinions about that. And then what would be an appropriate response to that? And that's another conversation to have. So that's just one of the things that came from Access to Culture Translator. You can sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Comes in your mailbox every Friday about 6 a.m., to be honest.
About 6 a.m.
Found that out one day. Yeah.
Yeah. Why am I not surprised that you found out one day it was 6 a.m. kind of thing? So, I heard of Temu on, I think it might have been This Week in Google podcast.
Oh.
A couple weeks ago. They were talking about doing searches and finding things and the differences between some of the different ones. And it is, and so that was my first exposure to it. And it was like, this is ridiculously cheap stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and totally, totally random stuff. So have you looked at Temu at all?
No. There's a channel I subscribe to that, does Chinese news and information from behind the wall, the Great Firewall of China. And they were talking about it and they said, you don't even search for it. Don't even put anything in there, because you'll suddenly get everything Temu and you get flooded with stuff. Apparently, the government is subsidizing this business for a couple of reasons. One, they want Ant Group to kind of like take a hit. But also, I guess the main benefactor financially is the government of China itself. And
right.
Yeah. And so the irony was that on the video that was talking about Temu, YouTube had put Temu ads.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was there's the algorithm for you.
Missing context.
I've not. Mm-hmm. Yep, I've not played with it. I've not messed with it because I already get ads for enough things as it is. You go to conferences and you're going to get a ton of ads in your mailbox. I don't want more. I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah, and that was one of the conversations, because we had a lot of conversations around AI at the conference, and one of them was that, okay, so we talk about golden toilet seats. I know, we're just going to, if we have, somebody says golden toilet seats, are you going to get ads for golden toilet seats? Or, you know, if you talk about some kind of, I don't know, egg timers. Are you going to get ads for egg timers? And there's always the challenge of figuring out how much of it is perceptual bias, right? Because you may have been seeing egg timer, you may have been being given egg timer, ads for quite a while, but you just didn't notice them, because how much of the advertising do you actually really notice and process? But once you start looking for them, then it's like, oh, I'm getting all of these things. So yeah. All right. So I thought it was interesting you brought up Temu this week, because it was like, oh, that wasn't in a couple weeks ago. And that actually fits in with an article over at EdSurge that I found this week called How to Help Students Avoid Getting Duped Online, MDASH, and by AI chatbots.
Oh.
So, and there's a, it's going to reference a new book that's out, and I may end up picking up the book. But it starts with the premise of students these days are terrible at sorting true facts from misinformation online and on social media, many studies show. But it's not because students aren't good at critical thinking. And I thought that was an interesting premise to start with, because I think a lot of times we say, you know, we need critical thinkers. We need people to think critically. And it's like, yeah, we do. But maybe people, it needs to be more and more specific. So Mike Caulfield has written a book along with Sam Weinberg, who's a Stanford University emeritus education professor, called Verified: How to Think Straight, Get Duped Less, and Make Better Decisions About What to Believe Online.
Oh.
So this looks interesting to, for me. And they make some points here. One problem that students, and really any of us, face, Caulfield argues, is that people often approach information they encounter online with the same strategies for telling fact from fiction that worked well in an earlier time when most published material had undergone some level of vetting and verification. It's like, yeah. He said there wasn't suddenly a massive decline in critical thinking. People were just applying approaches to information on the internet that weren't really appropriate to the internet. That people were applying some of these pre-internet approaches that weren't really applicable. And it's like, okay, that's, yeah, you can see some of that. And as an example, one of the primary things you're doing when you're reading on the internet is you're trying to decide if something's worth your attention or not. And this is part of what he calls sorting through information using critical ignoring, which I thought was interesting. It's like basically it's the skill of ignoring things. And that's not something we have kind of traditionally taught. We've kind of taught check it, verify it, but we haven't necessarily taught people the ability to ignore some things. And, you know, it's the difference between unfiltered versus filtered. And he says, in traditional models, we've taught students that the way you solve any problem is giving it deep critical attention. And of course, this is disastrous on the internet. It's like, that's how you get into that rabbit hole kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it goes through, they have the SIFT method, which is stop, investigate, find, and trace. And, you know, they go through that. They go through the ability to really, it is, part of it comes down to verifying your sources. It's like, be aware that if somebody, what perspective or point of view somebody's coming from. And then they do talk about ChatGPT and other AI tools, large language models, and that they're not thinking. they're pulling things together and they go through some of the flaws in the communication cloth. So I think it's interesting. I think it's verified looks like it is now available. So it's available in like $14. So, oh no, it's going to be released November 17th. Sorry. You can pre-order it for $14, but it is November 17th. So yeah, there's that. Is that why you are going to be unavailable on November 18th? This is my way of precursing that we will not have a show on November 18th, and you're just booking time to read.
Yeah, no, I'm not booking time to read. I will be frantically running around Lansing, Michigan, coordinating the activities of eighth graders as they exercise their newfound skills on arguing a point or taking a position and arguing for or against position on different issues. Matter of fact, we just did our signups on Friday. And that's the irony is that the controlling question, the contemporary issues forum is centered around artificial intelligence. You know, how should we use it? How should it be regulated? Mm-hmm. What should be allowed in existence and what shouldn't be allowed in existence? So I thought it's interesting that they chose that for the contemporary issues forum. My students are probably participating in that in the most asked. All right, I nominate one person for legislature. I think she'll be good at that. But we'll see. We're newbies, so we're gonna take it slow. This is our first year, and matter of fact, on my registration, they said you have to help out. I said I have no problem helping out, but just put me somewhere where I can do the least damage. And in an email, and they laughed and they said, "Do this one. If you do this one, you'll be okay." So. I appreciate their help in that, in helping out a noob. I mean, I've done stuff like this before, but never like a statewide level conference thing. So, I think it'll be good.
You have experience with statewide level conferences.
That's true, but I've never done it with, 10, 11, eighth graders. They're smart. They really are. They're smart eighth graders. And I'm really looking forward to this because I think once they start to test themselves against other eighth graders around the state and they start to realize where they're at, then we can have a conversation about, okay, now how can we do better? How could we take on them? And, you know, they're no different than you. You know, how are you? What are your skills? What are their skills? What do we need to work on? So I'm looking forward to that. The feedback is going to be, important.
Absolutely. The other thing that's important is that you head over to middleschoolmatters.com. Go to the podcast catcher of your choice. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell us why Sean is the world's greatest co-show host. And go to middleschoolmatters.com, and there's links there to get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. And with that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guests and not indicative of any employer.